In 2009, Democrats in Wisconsin passed Act 250. It's a law that created for the first time a standardized state-sanctioned process for people to complain about Native American nicknames, mascots, and logos and seek to have them changed. Since then, five school districts have either been forced to change their nicknames, logos, or mascots, or have changed them under threat of state action. But the process has never been without rancor or even flat-out defiance from people within the school districts. And now, a group of Republicans are pushing a bill that would change this law, claiming that it would make the law more fair, while opponents of these race-based nicknames claim that the law is basically being repealed in a de facto sort of a way. So that's the issue this hour on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'll be joined by three people on the front lines of this fight, and we'll hear from them in just a bit. On the phone lines are attorney Sam Hall, who is representing the Mukwonago School District in their quest to keep their Indians nickname, and representing the anti-Indian nickname group, we'll hear from Carol and Harvey Gunderson, a husband and wife team who have been working for a long time to change Native American mascots, nicknames, and logos in the state and abroad. Again, this is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're talking this hour about a bill being pushed by Republican lawmakers that seeks to make some big changes to a law that has been used to challenge Native American nicknames, mascots, and logos at public schools here in Wisconsin. Joining me by phone are Harvey and Carol Gunderson. They are two activists that are seeking to abolish these nicknames. Harvey and Carol, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure having you. And also joining us by phone is Sam Hall. Sam is an attorney based in Milwaukee who is representing the Mukwonago School District in its fight to keep its Indians nickname. Scott Hall, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Good morning, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. And listeners, you can get in on the discussion as well by giving a call at 800-228-5615. We do have some more pledge breaks coming up, but we have plenty of time to discuss this big issue. So do give us a call, 800-228-5615. And I want to start with Scott, and the first question is kind of a big overall question, and that is, do you believe that race-based nicknames used by public school districts, as in the case of the Mukwonago Indians, Red Raiders, or Chiefs in other areas, does that cause harm to Native American students or any other students that are minority groups?
Good morning, Rich. First, my first name is Sam.
I already did it. I'm sorry, Sam.
No problem at all. I think it's a good question, and here's how I would answer it. I think in Wisconsin, the school districts that are currently using Indian-related nicknames and logos, I don't think they are discriminatory, and I don't think that they are harmful to children. But I think the important thing is that this bill doesn't foreclose the possibility that someday some school district may utilize them in an inappropriate and improper way, and in that case and on that occasion, a claim can still be made by members of the school district, and it is subject to review. This isn't a complete foreclosure mm-hmm. on the possibility of review. It's just saying that one person isn't enough to raise it. And so if we reach a point where someday, you know, some school district goes off the deep end a little bit, then, you know, this law still leaves in place a process where it can be challenged and ultimately forced to be changed. But again, based on the school districts that are around the state right now, in the way that they're using the nicknames and logos, I think they're doing a good job at treating them with respect and dignity.
Any idea what that point would be where a school district would cross, you know, the line and get into the inappropriate territory?
No, I mean, I don't think there is a hard and fast, you know, rule that can be applied to it. It's one of those things that, you know, when you see it, you'll know it. And again, you know, we haven't seen it yet. The school districts, you know, specifically Mukwonago, you know, they have a long history of having tribal members living in these communities. They're incorporating that history and that heritage into their education system. There's been no incidences of, you know, students acting out, you know, actually harassing or discriminating against anyone. There's no, you know, for example, tomahawk chops or those types of cheers occurring. And so, you know, in the absence of any of that, I don't know how you can feel that there's any you know, harm being done.
All right, thank you for that. Now, Carol, I want to go to you. What about you? Or what's your opinion on do these nicknames used by public school districts like the Indians or Red Raiders or what have you, is that causing actual harm?
Yes, it is. It's especially even at a younger age when people are trying to learn their identity. I'm an Oneida Indian from near Green Bay, where our reservation is, and but the school I went to was Seymour, and they, at the time when I was going there, they were called the Indians, and it was very confusing because at pep rallies they would share, you know, mighty mighty Indians, go Indians, but yet people would not sit with us on the bus, on the school bus going in. Also, they wouldn't sit by us in our lunchrooms. So this perpetuates having these names. Perpetuates discrimination, stereotyping, and yes, it does lead to bullying because I experienced when I was in school.
Harvey, anything to add on that?
Yeah, I might say not only was Carol bullied when she was in school, but Carol, as is true across this state, when American Indians have stepped forward and asked their school district to change, they have been bullied within those communities. Several, in at least four communities that I'm aware of within Wisconsin, where American Indians raised the issue of their race being used by, in all cases, I think, all white school boards in predominantly white communities. There were four incidents where people, just American Indian families, moved out of the district because it was basically untenable to live there. Mm. In the case of Osseo Fairchild, Carol had an anonymous phone call, but turned out it was from a 71-year-old woman in Osseo. The night when where it was left on her answering machine, directed to her, saying, and this is a direct quote, "Why don't you go back to the reservation where you belong?" Mm-hmm. Unquote. Now, this was said to an American Indian because she had the audacity to say, you know, I don't want me and members of my race to be used for halftime fun and games. There was another case where a letter to the editor was put in the local school board, in the local newspaper, saying that Carol and I should, direct quote, "pack up and get out of town," unquote. Another American Indian family in the community had dead rabbits put in his driveway. On the night when the Great Lakes Intertribal Council passed a resolution asking the Osseo Fairchild specifically to change, that very night, and it was on television, that night his mailbox was vandalized. Mm. I mean, you know, it's another person.
Because time is of the essence, yeah. I appreciate the examples, but I do want to get some other questions out there. And
sure.
And I guess I want to go to Sam Hall, and how come there is so much pushback? I mean, among folks that are not Native, you know, in the school district, why do they hold these logos, these mascots, and these nicknames so dear?
Well, you know, it's part of the school district's history and the heritage. I mean, and many of these school districts, in Muckwonago and Berlin, you know, the students that are currently in school there were preceded by their parents and preceded by their grandparents. In Muckwonago, the Indians' nickname has existed for over 100 years. And yeah. when the nickname was chosen over 100 years ago, it wasn't chosen to be mocking or anything like that. It was chosen because it was part of the local history that at that time wasn't so distant. You know, at that time, over 100 years ago, it was on the minds of the people in Muckwonago that, you know, the Potawatomi had lived in the area. And as we get farther and farther removed from that period of time, I think it's important, and I think the people feel it's important, to maintain that heritage and maintain that history so that our young people, as they grow up, you know, understand where, frankly, the names of many of our cities and villages and towns come from. You know, Muckwonago, Menominee
sure.
Falls. You know, I think that's, you know, an important aspect of it.
So is it honoring then the heritage of the area and of the people that preceded the white settlers, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, there aren't nicknames that are chosen to show weakness or to show, to mock someone. I mean, if you think of the Green Bay Packers, the Packers' nickname was chosen, to honor and the individuals that were working in the meatpacking industry, the Brewers in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
The Vikings in Minnesota. These nicknames are chosen as a sign of respect and honor. I mean, nobody chooses nicknames to mock or to, diminish your own position in the community.
Very good. And Harvey, I want to ask you, what about...
May I reply to what Sam just said? Because it is so blatantly untrue.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly, okay, you said nobody would ever choose a nickname that would show disrespect. Then why does Yuma High School call the criminals? There's a high school called the Rustlers, one called the Bandits, many that were called the Savages, of course, meaning American Indians. And, of course, Sam would probably say that was to honor Indians, too. The Red Raiders, why would do people call themselves the Pirates to honor pirates, to show honor and respect? I researched many, many schools across Wisconsin and the United States in terms of why did they do it. And I have yet to find one that has done it to honor Indians. In fact, you typically find, you do not hear this, if you go back and look at the newspapers of that day, I've never seen one that had the word honor. I've never seen one that said the word respect. I've never seen one that had showed the slightest concern for what American Indians thought about it. Instead, the reason, and historians will bear me up on this, the reason why people picked nicknames and logos back in the early part of the 1900s when athletics first started in high schools was to present an intimidating force on the athletic battlefield. And so that's why you see so many, in terms of animals and bears, they are carnivorous. The top 10 are all predators of the top 10 high school nicknames in the nation. Seven of those are birds and animals. The birds and animals are all predators, like bears, tigers, hawks, eagles, etc. In turn, there are three humans. They are Trojans, warriors, and Indians. Now, clearly, the Trojans are picked because of war, and warriors for also because of war, and so they also, when one has, someone expert scholar is, are trained killers, trained predators. So to say that American Indians are to respect, I mean, it begs credulity for anybody that really looks into this thing.
Sam, would you care to reply?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can debate that point. I disagree with Harvey, and we can go round and round for much more than an hour talking about it. And I can point to examples, too. The Florida State Seminoles have the blessings of the Seminole tribe, and they actually have a mascot, a living, breathing mascot that comes out onto the field, which is something that doesn't occur anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But I think the important thing is with this proposed change in Madison is a process is in place. If Harvey's right, and if I'm wrong, then what is the harm of having a fair process to allow school districts and the folks from Harvey's side to come to the table in front of someone who's fair and impartial to make a decision? If it is so clearly discriminatory and if it's so clearly negatively impacting students, then what's the harm of having a fair process? And that's all the school districts have asked. From Maguanago's standpoint, we've had, a judge that issued an injunction saying it wasn't a fair process. The same thing happened in Berlin, in Green Lake County. We're just looking for a fair and impartial process to hear these claims. And so if Harvey's right, then again, what is the fear, what's the concern with having a fair fight over it?
And we will get to that process right after the break. First, I want to take one call. We've got Diane in Fairchild on the line. Diane, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling in. What's your question or comment?
Well, I certainly appreciate giving the opportunity to say this. When I speak to children in my school district, they many times don't understand that they are being racist. I think it goes back to when you look at the adults, you say to them, this is racist. The adults are like, oh, no, this is honoring them. And I'm like, well, what part of, when you look at the word redskin or you look at Indian, and it was used in a negative connotation, you know, we're going to go get us an Indian or we're going to go get us a Redskin, because there was a bounty on their heads, and they, it was not a positive thing to say. And little kids nowadays, they don't hear that, but the adults know that. And I say to them, you know, if you had someone who is from an Asian descent, you're not going to say, well, let's go get the gooks or let's go get the chinks.
Sure.
If you have somebody who's from Latin America or who has a Latino...
Well, I think we get the point. We definitely get the point, Diane. I want to put that to Sam Hall again because we are up against a break for pledge. But, Sam, response to Diane's concerns that the kids may not realize it, but the adults surely do?
Well, I think to say that the use of an Indian's nickname and logo is racist, I think that's just over the top. I think you can look at some nicknames, and the Redskins nickname, you know, that may be subject to debate, and I'll note that there isn't such a nickname in Wisconsin. But, mm-hmm. you know, the use of the Indian's nickname in and of itself, I don't know how you can support that that's racist.
All right. I think a lot more debate on that issue particularly, but we are talking about Native American mascots at public schools in Wisconsin and a Republican bill that seeks to change a state process for challenging such mascots. I'm joined by attorney Sam Hall and activists Carol and Harvey Gunderson. We'll have more discussion coming up, but first a reminder that it is our fall pledge drive, and we depend heavily on your support. We've got callers on the line. We will get back to this issue in just a bit. This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. And thank you, gentlemen, once again. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio this hour. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about a bill being pushed through the legislature that seeks to change a legal process aimed at challenging Native American mascots, nicknames, and logos used in public schools here in Wisconsin. My guests are Carol and Harvey Gunderson. They are a husband and wife team that have been fighting to banish these types of mascots for years. And Sam Hall, he's an attorney with representing the McWanago School District, which is defying state orders to change its Indians nickname. If you've got a question or a comment, let us know. 800-228-5615. We'll try to get you on the air. Let me give some background on this law that we're talking about. We talked about the overall issues just before the break, but... back in 2009, Act 250 was passed by Democrats in the legislature, which created for the first time this legal process for people to complain about Native American mascots, nicknames, and logos, race-based nicknames and logos. And now Republicans, including Steve Noss, Representative Robin Voss, Dave Craig, and Mary Lozich, have introduced a bill that makes some big changes to that. Basically, it would require more signatures. It would change the way the hearing process plays out. And Sam Hall, I want to ask you, what about the law as it currently exists is wrong?
Well, you know, there's a few things. I think first and foremost, the problem with existing law that played itself out in both McGuanago and Berlin and perhaps other cases was that the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, was responsible for presiding and overseeing the hearings in the cases. And in the case of McGuanago, the person that conducted the hearing admitted that he couldn't come up with any evidence that McGuanago could have presented that would have, you know, changed his mind. The DPI for literally decades has been frankly strongly in Harvey's camp and has publicly said that, you know, they want to eliminate all race-based nicknames and logos, regardless of context, regardless of how they're being used in individual school districts. And so what the courts have said, and what we think is the biggest problem, is that as long as there's going to be a hearing process, you know, as long as the law doesn't completely, you know, wipe the Indian nicknames and logos off of the map, as long as there's a process, that process has got to be fair. So I think the big component of this is that the hearings are moved from the Department of Public Instruction to the Division of Hearings and Appeals that has experience and training on how to conduct these hearings.
Mm. Now, what about the part of the bill that says that a petition with residents from is required from residents from school districts, residents that would need to equal at least 10% of the school district's student population? Couldn't this be seen as a making it so onerous to lodge a complaint that it's a de facto kind of a repeal of that law?
No, I think, you know, the size of the school districts, I think 10% is about right. You know, in McGuanago, there's about 4,000 students throughout the school district, so it'd be, you know, roughly 400 signatures. Other school districts, you know, have smaller populations, and it would require fewer signatures. I think that that number is a number that if a collection was conducted and if it gets to the superintendent and the school board, I think they would take a close look at it and, you know, maybe even decide not to go to hearing over it. So I think that number is about right. And that just, I think, really goes to the issue of local control. You know, do we want bureaucrats in Madison to be making such, you know, decisions about what the school's nickname and logo is, or is that something that we want to, you know, defer to local community leaders who are elected by their constituents in the school districts and let them have weigh in on it?
Now let's let Carol Gunderson weigh in on this. Carol, do you see this bill as it's written as a kind of a de facto repeal of Act 250?
I certainly do. I think it's an unconstitutional bill as it is written. No place does it say that you have to have 10% of a population to claim discrimination.
And Harvey, would you like to chime in as well?
Well, yeah. If in the case of Osseo, do you know how you know, almost in a sense danger it was, this would be for American Indians in almost any community to have to go out and get signatures for white people in that community? You know, if they have any children in school, think of the risk they're going to put their children at. You know, I don't know of one law, discrimination law in the entire United States at the federal or state level that requires more than one person to file a discrimination complaint. Why should one woman have to have approval from a bunch of men before that she can file a discrimination complaint? You know, it's ludicrous. And so, you know, this is, Sam tries to put it into the context of opinion this is discrimination, not a matter of offensiveness. This is about discrimination and racial stereotyping. Sam said earlier that we could argue about this for a long time. Well, the problem is that it winds up being in the arena of opinion rather than fact. So let's get to the facts. In terms of the facts, Sam said that there were no incidents. In fact, at the hearing, there were testimony about incidents that had occurred. One of their own witnesses said that he had observed multiple incidents over the years done by other school districts, by the competing school districts. He also said that, you know, there's a term he said when school districts, somebody in school district goes off the deep end. There was another incidence of bullying. I mean, he basically tried to, did Carol go off the deep end? I mean, what an insult to her. What about the tribal chairs, the members of the Great Lakes Intertribal Council who've asked this for Act 250? Did they go off the deep end? I think these people don't realize how insulting what they do is. It's a slap in the face of, this law is a slap in the face of basically every tribe in Wisconsin, Great Lakes Intertribal Council. Sam said they're going to treat the logo with respect and dignity. Well, yeah, the logo, but what about real American Indians instead of an Indian head up on the wall? There's a difference there. And he also said that when you see it, you'll know it. Well, that's true about some things, but it's not true about psychological harm. And I don't know if Sam has read the research yet, about Stephanie Freiberg and so on, because and that was one of the things that why the school district lost. They didn't even read this. They had an attorney, but apparently they didn't even read the evidence that was submitted by our side. We submitted, in that case, about 1,000 pages of evidence. The school district submitted, I don't know what it was, but it was pretty, in fact, it was most in Osseo Fairchild, it was 12 pages. And it's factual, these are factual, empirically based, peer-reviewed research studies that shows that there is a reduction in self-esteem of American Indians. This is fact, not opinion. And we've got to get this out of the arena of opinion and emotion and get it into the arena of research and fact. And that's what Act 250 did.
No.
In terms of saying that DPI is unable to be balanced, well, under the old law, DPI was the decision maker as well. And it's not a bureaucrat. It's an administrative law judge. But
these people have, I know that Tony Evers has in many instances explained on record how he would like to, he's totally against these race-based nicknames. So isn't that bias?
Judge Hassan, the judge in the McQuanago case, actually, in his ruling, said that the position of the superintendent of public instruction was not proof of bias on the part of Paul. In fact, Paul Sherman was the hearing. It all comes down to one person. Now, actually, that person has been very much maligned here inappropriately because he testified. What evidence could they bring? Well, if Judge Hassan would have read the entire record, they would have saw that there was testimony from three experts who said that they know of no evidence that shows that it's psychologically beneficial, but only that it's beneficially harmful to American Indians. What would you encourage them to bring? The school district brought, they had their own witnesses testified that, in fact, they have a procedure in place to try to make sure that there's no stereotyping. They even send people out to their opposing schools to make sure that they behave in a manner that, quote-unquote, respects the logo. Well, school districts that have a nickname of the Eagles or the Bears don't have to send someone to opposing school districts to tell the students how to behave to avoid racial stereotyping. But schools like McQuanago do, because the administrators basically admitted, yes, we know that it does promote stereotyping, and that's why we have to have these precautionary steps.
Sam Hall, please respond.
Well, first of all, they have not admitted that. And I think the issue here, there's two points I want to make. The first is that what happened in McQuanago and what happened in Osseo Fairchild is the conflict between the school district's position that there is nothing inappropriate going on in the district. There's no, in both of those cases, individuals were testifying at hearing that in the halls of those high schools, nothing inappropriate was going on. There was no evidence of discrimination or evidence of harassment. And on the other side, we have studies and people that are testifying to present those studies who have never set foot in the school district. In McQuanago, they came with the studies, and each and every one of them admitted under oath that they've never been at a sporting event or went to any of the games or went through the school and witnessed anything inappropriate going on. The second thing I want to address is just the issue of, is this a discrimination law, and the fact that this proposal requires a petition signed by 10% of the members. Wisconsin already has a pupil non-discrimination law. 118.13 is on the books and completely left undisturbed by this proposal. That law provides that one person can file a complaint with the local school board and eventually work their way up to the Department of Public Instruction if they believe there's discrimination or harassment going on inside of the schools. They have that ability under state law. They continue to have that ability under federal law if there's really harassment or discrimination going on in the schools. This issue regarding nicknames and logos has never been about discrimination or harassment. If it was, Act 250 would have included gender discrimination. They would have included discrimination based on disabilities. We've got the Hurley Midgets and the Butternut Midgets in northern Wisconsin. But the law didn't include that. So it's not a discrimination law. The discrimination law is 118.13. It's left undisturbed, and so if one person truly does feel that there's discrimination and harassment happening in a public school, they have both state and federal remedies that they themselves, one person, can pursue.
Harvey, very quickly, we've got like 1 minute left.
That shows the inconsistency of the other side. He said that DPI is not able to make a fair decision, and yet under the old law at 1.3, who is it that makes that decision? DPI. And what has happened under that old law? DPI always ruled for the school board. So in all that time, superintendents of public instruction knew that these nicknames were bad. So
Harvey, unfortunately,
it's only a matter of one person. You don't need to change a law.
I've got to stop you there. That is our time. It's our fall membership drive, and we'll round out the hour with a message from Wisconsin Public Radio stars John Munson and Gene Purcell. But first, I want to thank my guests for their discussion. This very controversial but important debate going on right now in the state. Sam Hall is an attorney based in Milwaukee, and he's currently representing the Mukwonago School District in its fight to keep its Indians nickname. Carolyn Harvey Gunderson, our husband and wife team dedicated to abolishing Native American nicknames, mascots, and logos. Thank you all so much, and now a word from our WPR stars. That is our time here for the West Side. I want to again thank you to my guests, Sam Hall and Carol and Harvey Gunderson. Thank you all very much. Along with a big thanks to Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, Henry Lippold, Rachel Minsky, Rachel Vick, Tiffany Coggins, and Dean Kallenbeck. I'll be off next week, but guest host Dean Kallenbeck will be in, so tune in again next Monday morning. Until then, have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again soon. Thanks for listening.